From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hey, what just happened?
Hey, it's show 015. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
It is Tuesday, November 11th, 2008. We apologize for the one-day delay. I was out of town and had no recording access, but Storm stepped up to the plate mightily with yet another puppet adventure.
Yes, the much-anticipated puppet adventure.
I detect a light note of sarcasm there.
Oh, well, you know.
I enjoy your puppetry.
I do, too. Just there's not a big poochy factor on it, that's all.
Yeah, well, not just because people aren't talking about it doesn't mean people aren't thinking about it.
It is more of a subconscious type
thinking
of
is
thing.
Like talking in your head.
Was that out of Napoleon Dynamite or something?
I think I made that up, but it does sound kind of cool.
Maybe it was a line from the Phantom Toll Booth.
Yeah, that's totally
right after
what
he
it
gets
was.
Out of the doldrums.
The dog that has the clock on its body said that, I think. You know, I never read the Phantom Toll Booth. I always just saw the picture.
I'm sure if I read it now, I'd be like, what the F? You know?
Yeah.
But I certainly did love it when I was, you know, like 9 or maybe,
yeah,
you know, whatever the age was when you were supposed to read that, and I did.
That's right.
Okay.
But we get ahead of ourselves. It's time for the rundown. Storm,
the rundown.
Go.
We have 31 certified minions.
Yes, we have, by the way, we just discussed just before we got on the air here, so to speak, that we are eliminating the two half minions and combining them into one minion and no longer allowing half minions, mainly because we're too lazy to say there's 30 minions and two half minions, because then we get into fractions.
Right, we don't want to do the maths, and it's just not worth it. If we decide we're going to do half minions in the future, we will, but...
Yeah, because technically, like, the first picture we ever got theoretically has, like, 15 minions and a pirate and a lackey in it and
ooh,
such.
Ooh, 15
so.
Minutes and a pirate. Remember that one.
15 minions and a pirate.
Yeah. For, like, oh, something. For something. A band or an album,
yeah,
or a snack food.
That's a good something. Anyway, I interrupted you. So,
okay.
31 minions.
And go to paulandstorm.com to find out how to become a minion. Pretty soon there will be a place where you can go specifically... For your minionhood.
There will be a home for the minionhood.
And let's just leave it at that for now.
Yeah.
We are at 27% on the Paul and Storm server fund.
Yes, we got. I got to tell you, I take great joy in the amounts that people choose to donate to the podcast, to the server fund. We just received a donation. I believe it was for
$14.62.
$0.62,
yeah,
or 32 cents or something. I love arbitrary donations like that. They
right.
give me great joy.
And it doesn't matter. Like in the old days, you'd be like, oh, you know, dang it, I have to calculate all these pennies. Doesn't matter. Just goes into a big electronic bucket.
Yep.
Last bit of regular business. Now, no progress on Whedon or McCartney Watch.
Yeah, you know, we may have to revise that and find another intermediate step.
Well, the thing is, we haven't really gone to any efforts to make this happen.
It's true.
And I don't know if the answer is picking, you know, lesser celebrities. And frankly, I don't care that much. You know,
yeah.
It's sort of like, who I don't remember what the NFL coach was that would always leave tickets for Elvis Presley.
Right.
It's sort of like that. If Paul McCartney showed up at a show,
yep.
or at our house, one of our
yep.
houses during the podcast, I'd be floored.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not expecting that to happen. Poochie Corner.
Poochie Corner, who's talking about us? What are they saying?
There's good chatter out there. We have had some spectacular suggestions for our 25 Days of Newman project.
Yes, a vast array of suggestions to go with the... is panoply the right word? I can't even remember what panoply actually means, but I'm going to use it as if I know what it means. To go with the panoply of movie possibilities we had already come up with.
And a lot of the suggestions, I will say, we had thought of. We're not going to tell you which ones they were. That
right.
way, we don't have to share the credit. with
That's
anybody.
Right. Good plan. Good plan.
Now, we will if there's something really exceptional, and I have a couple in mind that are really quite clever.
Yes. So, well, by the way, those of you who may have missed last week's podcast or don't know what we're talking about, starting on December 1st, we will be releasing a brand new Randy Newman theme song per day up until Christmas, thereby creating the 25 Days of Newman, our gift to you, the listening public. They will all be absolutely free on our website.
And I don't want to tip our hand or, you know, sour the pie or anything.
Sour the pie. That's a front runner right now for the name of this podcast.
That does sound like a medieval metaphor of some sort.
Yes, or some sort of like a Jethro Tull song,
right.
Sour the Pie.
Oh, I can see that. Anyway, don't want to sour the pie, but we're up to like 60-some suggestions, and our own list is probably doubles the list.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's a lot of suggestions, and a lot of them are good.
Yeah.
And that it's more than 25 days. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, you're full of portent.
I'm being all coy, not coy.
You are, yes.
That was the Walk the Dinosaur Band right there. Okay. Is that it for old business?
I think so.
All right. Well, there are about three ways we can go here. All right. I mean, there are many other ways, of course.
Right.
If you have
three particular ways you're thinking of.
Right. One, I don't know where it's going to go. Well, we could see where it goes. One, we both know where it will go. And three is the miracle that just occurred.
The miracle that just occurred, I think, is obviously where you have to go first.
It's very immediate. I'll try to be quick.
Sure.
All right. You're going to need to substitute something cute for something nasty, because I don't want to have to say the nasty thing all the time.
Okay.
When you're on the pot and you produce something nasty, right?
Yes.
So let's call that thing that you produce something else.
Jehovah?
Sure, let's go with Jehovah. I was making Jehovah.
No, you know, that's a little too sacrilegious. Let's call it manna. Let's say you were making manna.
Manna, okay. I was making manna, and and you know how you always should have the habit of checking to make sure there's toilet paper before you make manna?
Yeah, that's always one of the key ingredients of the manna-making process is to make sure that there is enough toilet paper on hand.
Right. Step one, check for toilet paper before making manna.
Well, actually, step one is look down before you sit, but that's a whole nother show based on hacky comedians' routines of lift the lid, don't lift the lid.
Right. I'd skipped over those steps. That was already a macro, which I had pressed the button on.
Storm's rule number one, though, check to make sure there's enough toilet paper.
In fact, before sitting down, I generally do, because you don't want to waste all of that labor, you know, only to realize, I gotta, you know, put trow up again and rectify this.
Before you go to provide for the Jews wandering in the desert, make sure there's enough toilet paper.
So there I was, and I had disobeyed the rule. The problem wasn't really I disobeyed it, but I'd obeyed it too soon. All right, follow me here.
Okay, I'll try.
I'd checked to see what was, you know, I was in position and then realized there was something else I had to do even more than make manna. so I
so
took care of
that. There's nothing you enjoy more.
Right. So I took care of what that was, which had nothing to do with making manna whatsoever.
Right.
Honestly. And I came back. In my mind, I had already done the check, but I hadn't actually done the check even the first time.
I got
time.
You. I thought you were going to say, like, you checked, but you checked, like, a week ago.
No, I'm not that slow.
It was toilet paper here last month.
Anyway, the manna-making was done.
Mm-hmm.
And only at that moment did I realize I'd skipped a step in the recipe.
Oops.
And indeed, there was only a very small scrap of manna preparatory.
Oh, that's almost worse than none whatsoever.
Right. And my wife, Gillian, was nowhere within earshot.
Oh, yeah.
However, I took that scrap, and there was no extra manna.
It was like the loaves and the fishes.
It was the immaculate.
There was enough for the multitudes.
Exactly. So that was my miracle moment. And that happened just minutes before we started this podcast, or I never would have talked about it.
And now I have that image in my brain and can never unknow it.
Okay, so now where should we go?
Well, we see what happens when I choose a direction, so you go ahead and pick whichever one you care to. We just passed the 10-minute mark, by the way, he said, running out of breath inexplicably.
Right, for everybody who feels we should adhere strictly to the 5 to 10 minute, although
right.
That's another discussion entirely that we're not going to get into.
Correct.
Okay.
So are we going the I don't know where route or the we both know where route?
You know, that first segment about the man, it was a little strange, so I think I'm going with the we both know where route.
Take the safe bet, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, when we did the whole comfort food thing and mm-hmm. the whole, and please do go participate in that, you still can, excuse me, on the website.
Stay classy, Storm.
Hey, that's what I do. Okay. So, we had that whole thing. And someone wrote in, I apologize that I didn't notice or remember your name. I did notice it. How about comfort movies?
Mm.
Now, Paul and I, you and I, discussed this, and you suggested talking about guilty pleasure movies.
Yeah, they are two sort of separate, they are entirely separate
categories.
They're
totally different.
Both very worthy, though. There is, of course, the movie you have to watch, say, at least once a year or 6 months to sort of bring order back into your life or reground you. And then there are the movies where you're flipping channels, and if it's on, You enjoy the manna out of it. You must sit. But more to the point, and I'll get to which one this is for me as soon as I'm done explaining. Like, the movie where you're flipping around and when that movie comes on, wherever it is in that movie, you have no choice whatsoever but to sit down mm-hmm. and watch it until it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's beyond your control. For me, not really anymore, but for a good, I'd say, 3-year period, that movie was that thing you do.
Right, right. What was, you've told me this before, I've still never seen that all the way through, by the way,
yeah.
But what is it about it that just strikes you, that makes you want to watch it?
I don't exactly know. At first it was, wow, this is like half of a really good movie. Like, there's these wonderful elements because, for example, Steve Zahn was in it before he became sort of overexposed, and he was still, like, this charming, new, interesting screen presence.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Everett Scott, I believe I have that name right, is such a doppelganger for Tom Hanks.
Yep.
You should have seen my face when I said doppelganger.
Oh, I could see it all twisted up like that.
I'm pronouncing the manna out of the umlaut over the A. The umlaut over the A.
I was actually picturing your face like that Nazi in Raiders in the Lost Ark.
As a matter of fact,
contorting.
Very close. Yeah, the one that sort of shrivels, not the one that melts.
Right.
One that shrivels, yeah.
No, or not certainly not the one that exploded.
No. Because he was the Frenchman Belloc anyway, or Beloche.
See, my current movie that's like that, it's not really a guilty pleasure in that sense, but just the flipping channels have to see it
mm-hmm.
or watch it to its conclusion. Actually, two of them are both also Tom Hanks movies.
Uh-huh.
Apollo 13 and Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump has done that to me a couple of times this year. I wouldn't say I'm required every single time the way I was with that thing you do, but I can see where I can see that.
And I guess it's sort of like Forrest Gump in particular, but Apollo 13 in some degree, it's almost like a really good comedy routine.
Yeah.
Where it has all these neat little modules, and in between when you've seen it, you've forgotten all the little things that make it really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also Castaway, same thing. It's like
yep.
you forget all the little things that made you draw into it.
Right.
Anyway, if I can get back to the comfort movie.
Yeah, go ahead. Jeté back into comfort movies.
You did talk a little bit about it, and I'm sure a lot of you folks out there are thinking of them now. But
mm-hmm.
sort of movies when you sit down to watch them. And for me, it's sort of the same thing. It's more special if you mm-hmm. catch it on TV, even if you own the DVD.
Yeah.
Like, you will it's more special and is more comforting. It's almost like the universe is sending you a message.
Yeah. Well, it also may have something to do with our generation, you know, where we were sort of the last generation to grow up as kids without... or VCRs came out as we were growing up. I don't know when you had your first VCR. We didn't have ours until I was about, I'd say, 13 or 14.
Oh, we had it early. It was a combination VCR microwave, and we had to put up an addition to install it.
Awesome. But just nonetheless, the fact that, you know, when something was on, you had to catch it or it was gone.
Yeah, like it used to be a big deal when one of the networks would air, you know, like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yep.
That was like, wow, you know, they would get a 50% share, you know, of television audiences.
I still to this day have never seen the all the way through the final episode of MASH. I was away on like a band trip or something when that aired. And, you know, that was like the most viewed television series thing ever. Like, other than Super Bowls and such, I think that may have been the most viewed television single television show. I'm sure Roots got more viewers overall, but I seem to recall that being a record setter, and I missed it. And you know, you couldn't see it again at the time, and then eventually it came out on video, and I don't know, I just never quite got around to it.
But, and it was a huge bragging point,
yeah,
to say how many times you'd seen a movie, like Star Wars. I remember,
yeah,
you know, there'd be kids like, I saw Star Wars 50 times, and it was hard to do that. Nowadays, you can just sit in the comfort of your home and watch it over and over again, level up on Star Wars.
On your laptop or something.
Anyway, now that we've sort of
Danced around the topic, go ahead and throw out your comfort movie or movies.
Well, it's sort of guilty pleasure at the same time.
Yeah.
But I'm ashamed of it sort of because I didn't see it when I was a child, but it is generally considered to be a children's movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Toy Story.
Ah, yes.
It's not the
Tom
only
Tom Hanks,
one.
Once again, he's haunting this entire podcast.
Let's jeter away from Tom Hanks. right now, I'd say Galaxy Quest is a comfort movie for me.
Great movie, underrated movie.
Just about anything by the Coen brothers, particularly Hudsucker Proxy, Miller's Crossing. I know they don't seem like comforting movies, but there's just sort of the disorder of their universes is comforting to me. Like, they have their own integrity, even though they're quirky.
Yep.
And Total Recall.
Total Recall, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one just, it puts me at ease for some reason.
Really? Because I always kind of get unsettled by Total Recall. Verhoeven tends to do that to me.
Yeah. So, maybe I'm strange. I know I'm strange.
Maybe you're just, to each his own. I've got two, one of which is, you know, most people, you know, around the holidays, they have to watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
I used to be that guy, and I still watch it most Christmas times. But for me now, I consider a personal failure if I have not watched the Alistair Sim version of A Christmas Carol. I believe it was from 1951. And I think it depends. It's sometimes billed as Scrooge, and it's sometimes billed as A Christmas Carol, but it's the black and white version from the, I want to say it's 51. I could be entirely wrong, but just the best version ever put on celluloid of that story. That one, I have to hunker down the week of Christmas sometime and watch it. It just fills me with joy every single time I see it. And then here's the one that will make you, you personally, Storm, and probably everyone else out there, entirely positive that I do, in fact, have a vagina. and that would be the BBC version of Pride and Prejudice, the 6-hour version with Colin Firth and Jennifer L.
Good.
My wife and I rewatch that probably at least once a year. And we never have any control whatsoever over when the need arises to watch that.
Yeah.
It just sort of, we look at each other and we know that it's time to watch Pride and Prejudice again.
Well, everything has its time. And now it's time for me to say, I'm Storm.
Oh, wait, well, don't forget to ask the people. Sorry, no, we still got 30 seconds before we hit the 20-minute mark. It's the people's turn. Now it's your turn. Tell us your comfort movies.
Oh, yeah, of course. I figured they'd assume that at this point.
Your guilty pleasure movies, your comfort movies.
Tell us
Send
which
them.
Is which.
Comments.
Continue to give us your food memories, because we live on them. And now you're Paul.
And you are still Storm.
And we have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Find us on the web, paulandstorm.com. Next week, Friday night, on November, what the hell day is that? 21st, we're at the Paradise in Boston with Jonathan Colton. Our last concert of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
So catch us there or catch us later. Have a good time, and I'm out.
And you should go do things.
Soon walk through that door at Fat Sam's Grand Slam. Speakeasy, always able to find you a table. There's room for just one more at Fat Sam's Grand Slam. Speakeasy, once you get here, feel the good cheer. Fat Sam's ain't humble, but it's your home sweet home. Plans are made here. Rumors are a-buzzin', stories about the dozen. Look around your cousin, let the news will make you dare. Anybody who hears, anybody will soon walk to that door. Fat Sam's Grand Slam, speakeasy. Fat Sam's ain't humble, but it's your home sweet home. Plans are made near, things are played near. Each night astounds you. Rumors are a-buzzing, stories by the dozen. Look around your cousin at the news we're making here. Anybody who is, anybody will soon walk through that door at Fat Sam's Grand Slam. Speak easy.